Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about severe weather. I don't know. There's a lot going on. California, I guess that whole state's underwater now. It might float away. I don't know. It might be, you know, it might be the Great Flood. You know, God could have changed his mind on that one and been like, you know what?
Wipe them out.
Let's just wipe it out. And maybe he was like, you know, I'm not going to flood the whole earth. Maybe I just flood California and really that'll take care of 90% of the problems.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's what happens with tornadoes. You know, every once in a while, they're like, get those trailers out of here.
Right. Just you got to clean up
things up a little bit, you know?
Sure. Kevin, that's horrible. Kevin, you're a horrible person.
Well, let's talk about tornadoes. We're doing a natural disasters today. Supposedly this is going to be the, for 2024, this is the most likely, bad event. Closest to the end of the world is the you know, the natural disasters. This year is supposed to be right on top here with the rest of history. So we got to get into it. All tornadoes, right. You know, we all remember tornadoes, Wizard Oz, and all that stuff. You know, we're familiar with them, twisters and stuff.
I keep a bike in the shed just in case a tornado comes. You know, like I'm gonna be out there. You'll see me up there going across.
So tornadoes can destroy buildings, flip cars, create deadly flying debris. So what do you want to do? You want to get to a safe location. You want to get to, if there's no basement, you want to go to an interior room on the lower floor. Stay away from the windows and doors and outside walls. Or if you're outside, try and find some sturdy building. Don't hide under an overpass or a bridge and watch for flying debris. Now, this is like a lot of these that when the nukes were coming and they told you in school, you know, to get ready for it, you run inside and you go into the hallway and cover your head. And, you know, that's basically the same thing for most of these disasters. That's your game plan. Be ready for the nukes.
Yeah, exactly.
you know, similar, somewhat similar with hurricanes. You ever been in a hurricane, Chuck? I was,
a few hurricanes. I was trying to respond to comments because I'm cool like that. Yeah. But anyway, no, I actually, a couple hurricanes as a kid. One, I was living in Florida, but then later on in New York, we had some. And obviously a New York hurricane isn't quite like a,
it's not Southern the same,
Florida,
right?
Outer Banks, yeah. Whatever. But then on the flip side, I was in the Navy in Norfolk when we had a good hurricane. And they took us out out on the ship because they were like, oh, if we leave the ship in here for the hurricane, it's going to beat the ship into the pier and things will be bad. So we head out and drive right through the hurricane. And we're like, what the hell, you know? And I think some airplanes were being washed off the deck of the carrier next to us. And we were out there and there's a Coast Guard ship out there with us. And they call back and they're like, oh, we had one of the guys on the lookout on the bridge and he's not there anymore. So if you could look over the side and see if you see anything. And they were like, you know, we circled back once and we didn't see anything, but if you want to look, that'd be great. And we looked over the side. We didn't see anybody. And they were like, yeah, just keep going. And I was like, wait, what about all the movies with the helicopters and they're searching? And they were like, nah, it's probably not going to work out here. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what a minute. Wait, you know, I've seen these movies with the like 50-foot waves.
And they're out there rescuing people. You know? Nope. If you want the people to do the rescuing,
they're like, no,
you're on your own.
No, got you.
Yeah. I was in Norfolk during a hurricane too. It was, but I was, you know, not inland. I was in, I was living in an apartment complex and I lived next to this guy that was just out of his fucking mind, just a straight lunatic, you know? And, so he was all about it. Wanted to go down to the beach and stuff. We took a trip, drove down there. You got down to the beach. The wind was whipping so hard. It was like ripping your face off with sandpaper, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And we went back and he picked up his grill and he chained it up to a tree and grilled up some steaks during the hurricane. We were the only people that had hot food.
There you go. I mean, hey, you got a plan. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the big things with like severe weather with everything is you kind of want to keep tabs on the weather, right? Like, so if you're heading off to your big camp in the middle of Alaska and you're going way out, you want to look, hey, is there a blizzard coming? Hey, is there, you know, what does it look like? What's really going to play out? Now, my experience is usually the weatherman doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, you can kind of look up and take a guess, but, you know, you need to gather, I guess, the key is to gather as much information as you possibly can and then weigh all that in. You know, hey, right. My weatherman's usually spot on, then I'm going to probably give it a little more credibility to that. Mm-hmm. My weatherman's a complete idiot who's wrong 90% of the time. Well, I'm going to take that into account and weigh it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it all comes down to, is figuring out the best play and gathering information. I mean, that's the whole prepper thing. Now, one of the big things is that people get caught off guard when a storm comes and it's like, oh, the last minute. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've probably been the guy where I'd be like at work. And I mean, I'm talking about 20 years ago or whatever, but I'd be at work and everyone's like, oh, you know, you ready for this big hurricane coming? And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about?
All right, cool. Oh, yeah. I'll stop and get some bread and milk on the way home or whatever it is that people do. Right. And that's the thing is we shouldn't get caught, as they say, flat footed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have at least, you know, we'll say a week's worth of emergency supplies in your house. Now,
if you're a regular prepper, you probably 90% of the way prepared for most of these events.
I mean, still, whenever hurricane, tornado, even big snowstorm, you know, any of this stuff, I'm going to go out. I'm going to look around my yard. I'm going to go, oh, crap. You know, I have that patio furniture set over there. Where can I go put that it's not going to get glass shattered and beat to hell, and
you know, make sure my cars are full of gas and do the basics, you know.
And even like where I live, I got tons of trees and everything else. And I'm like, oh, if I park the car there, there's a good chance there's going to be some broken limbs laying on the roof or whatever. Mm. You know, I strategically park the cars.
Right.
Where, you know, hey, and the thing is, where I park them every day is sometimes different than where the severe weather parking is. You know, because there's certain levels of risk. You know, that's really what it all comes down to is, you know, what are the odds, you know?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is, you know, it's common sense, but people do weird stuff. People do weird stuff in emergencies, you know what I mean? People panic. People get a little bit, you know, iffy. They race home. Oh no, I got to get home, and they end up getting into car accidents or you know, stuff like that. You have to be careful. People get a little reckless when, you know, something bad is coming and they're trying to get ready for it.
It is. There is a level of panic that comes up that I think, you know, the anxiety that you just get with stuff that people are like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now what, one of the ones that, we had a hurricane, it was Hurricane Irene up here. And, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that bad. There's some downed trees and some roads were blocked off. But we had a lot of flooding just because we had heavy rain hitting.
Yeah.
And don't walk through that. Don't drive your car through that when you see a road flooded and be like, oh, I'll be fine.
You
probably won't be.
Let the guy in the Corvette drive through it, because we've all seen him on YouTube.
Yep.
He's going to test it out for you. If the Corvette goes through okay, then, you know, you're good to go after that. But otherwise, don't trust it, you know?
Yeah, I remember pulling up on the road, and the road was covered with water. And I could see the road, the angle of the road was going down. And I've driven this road before. I was familiar with it. Huh. And I could see guardrails on either side, and the guardrails were fully submerged underwater for about 40, 50 feet. And up the other side, you know, the same way. And I saw this guy in a pickup truck on the other side. Don't do it, dude. Because it was at least probably 8-10 feet deep at the deepest spot. Like it's not like a foot over the road.
A guardrail, you're over 3 feet. Right. And 90% of trucks, 95% of trucks out there, you're still going to have a problem at 3 feet.
Yeah. And yeah, he went for it.
Yeah.
He didn't even make it close to halfway. And then, you know, like a fool, he's sitting on the hood of his car, him and his girlfriend, in the middle of a damn flood, just sitting in the rain, stuck now because the whole cab was flooded, you know?
Wow. Yeah. But, no, that's not a good way to be.
Don't do it. Even if it's a foot deep, don't do it, because you don't know what's under that water.
That's one of the biggest things is after a storm. When you go out, you know, so you got down power lines, you got things that may be live wires just laying around. Right. And that's a real thing. And right. I mean, that's a real threat that you need to be aware of. And, you know, we're so used to being protected and insulated from the world that we don't expect, you know, oh, well, they wouldn't leave it where I could just walk up and get electrocuted. And
right. Die. Exactly.
That wouldn't happen. Well, there it is. Mm-hmm. So you want to be aware of that, you know, and obviously, you know, wood is great at, you know, being an insulator, and you can push wires away, but wood that's saturated with water, not so much, not so much the good insulator. One of the big things that I did, when I would go to work after a storm or go out, I would throw the chainsaw in the truck or the work van.
Yeah. That's a smart move.
You really, cause one, I can be a help to other people, right? I can get that out of the way. And I don't mean like going around to every house. Now, maybe if it's, you know, somebody who looks like they need help or a buddy, sure, I'm happy to help. But just on the roads, just in the daily travel, you're going to find obstructions in the road. I stop a lot when I see something in the road and I'm like, oh, let me just get that out of the way, because somebody might come up on this fast. And you know, the somebody could be your wife coming out 2 hours later to go to, you know, her shopping trip. You know, the person you help might end up being yourself or somebody you care about.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we should be caring about everybody, right? Try and look out for people. That's a good thing to do. You know, it's not horrible to look out for your fellow man, you know? Another thing, like Kevin said, you know, looking out for flooding. And the thing is with looking out for flooding is to give yourself enough time. You know, how many people go, oh, well, it's going to be just like normal. And they give themselves the same amount of time. And they're like, well, I can't be late for work. I have to chance it.
Right.
Well, right. You should have planned a little bit. You know, people always, you get certain people who act like a victim, you know, all the time. Well, I had to get to work and I had to drive through the giant flood. Well, yeah, but you could have planned a little bit.
Yeah, you could have done better.
You could have done better. You know, you could have left enough time to drive through slow through the icy roads, mm-hmm. or time to reroute your, you know, plan to work. I mean, I understand, like, day to day, like if I go to, I would say there's like a 10-minute cushion I have on, you know, a tractor in the road or something like that. When I'm going to work, I don't really have enough time to, like, maybe I could change a tire and only be like 10 minutes late. But I mean, things can happen, right? I'm not saying I'm perfect and I plan ahead. You know, I know guys who get to work a half hour early and I'm like, I'm not giving them that time. If they're not letting me punch in early and paying me, then I'm not, you know,
right.
I'm not going to sit there like, you know, wasting right. my life away. But again, the odds, but on a day when there's a big storm and tornadoes and floods and whatever, I am going to give myself that half hour. You know, I am going to plan, hey, I might have to take an alternate route. And that's one of the big things, is just looking at what's going on. I actually, there's a major highway that was like in my direct path to work. Right now there's some good back roads that I can take and everything's good. But when I was taking the major highway, I would put my route to work in my phone map every single day. And I know that sounds ridiculous. Obviously I know how to get to work, but it would be like, ooh, today is not the day to take the highway, or mm-hmm. today's the day to whatever, because it's a parking lot. And that's the thing. Like, you know, hey, check things out. No, your map isn't going to be a guarantee,
right?
Of they'll know what tree and what flood and whatever, but it gives you an extra clue, you know, a little extra insight to, hey, things might be bad this way. You know, you right. might want to go another way. So, you know, I don't want people to be dependent on your cell phone or whatever, but it's one more tool, you know, that you have available to you, and you may want to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do ahead of time to prepare for this sort of stuff. But there's a, you know, there's also a lot of stuff to just keep in mind when you're dealing with these things. I know grocery shopping, that sort of stuff. You really have to have that your cabinets filled with stuff that you can make, that you can eat without power, you know. You also have to have things planned out for you know, when your power goes out, you know, the food in your refrigerator, you know, that sort of stuff. Maybe it's time to have a big barbecue because, you know, the power is not going to be out, you know, on in the net for the next 2 days, and it's time to start cooking.
Yeah. And that's it. Do you have a generator? Do you have things, you know, that you can do? Do you have options?
Right, right. Let's talk about earthquakes real mm-hmm. quick. Now, I lived in California for about 2 years, but I lived in San Diego, and everybody around me had earthquakes, but I never really felt one. Then I moved to Missouri, and shit, we had a serious earthquake out there. Okay. I didn't realize how active it was out in that area, you know?
Right.
I always thought of California as the earthquake area, but, you know, every place is prone to an earthquake, you know, might not be as common or as big, but, you know, wherever you live, there's a chance of having an earthquake. So if you're driving during an earthquake, stop, pull your car over to the side of the road. If you're in bed, stay in bed. Well, don't get in a doorway. Don't go running outside. Just whatever you're doing, just stay there, you know. They're usually over pretty quick. And, you know, a lot of people in places that are prone to earthquakes will have like an earthquake kit, you know,
Yep.
But it's probably a natural disaster kit is probably, you know, right, a common thing. You know, maybe it's your bug out bag. You know, where do you have, you know, your flashlights, your batteries, right, your, you know, water filter, your, you know, a little bit of extra food, extra some water, granola bars, that okay, sort of stuff.
Yeah. And that's it. Think of food that you don't have to prepare, you know, so to say. Stuff that you can just kind of heat up, you know, maybe, you know, some of the MREs have the little chemical heater kind of thing or different right, stuff like that. Stuff that you can put together and make life better right away and easy. And the thing is, I know as preppers, a lot of us have like, you know, maybe a big shelving unit somewhere that's got all kinds of, you know, your canned food or jars of stuff that you put away right, or your box of stuff. But make sure you have something that you're going to be able to access if things go bad. And right, that's a big thing. Like, you know, something that's not going to be destroyed or ripped off. You know, oh, well, I have it in the little outbuilding that's some kind of sheet metal shed that just blew away and everything's gone.
Right.
You know, I mean, I understand a lot of us live in an area where it's really unlikely that something's going to come blow our shed away. Mm-hmm. But you know,
it happens.
It happens. And so, you know, you plan accordingly. And that's something to prepare for. Like Kevin said, having access, I mean, honestly, at least on every floor, but I would say pretty close to every room, you should have access to some kind of flashlight or quick lighting, that kind of thing. You know, and on the flip side of this, you can also choose where you live, it turns out. When you buy a house, believe it or not, the wife and I kind of like really scoped out around, all right, if there's flooding in this area, you know, and all right, maybe there's a little bit of prone to flooding here. Well, what about, you know, what's this house look like specifically, you know, mm-hmm, where are the valleys around it? Where's that water going to collect? Am I going to be, you know, underwater with my house or, you know, different things. Now, maybe you want to be able to have a pond, so you got to, you know, make accommodations, mm-hmm, but you need to be aware of what the weather is like, and you can actually plan ahead to what you're going to get. When you live in LA, you realize, hey, there's a risk that I might, you know, be exposed to some earthquakes or things like that. If you're in, you live right next to, what, the Oakland Stadium with the A's, right? Didn't we all see a baseball game? Yeah. Some kind of World Series or something with a big earthquake. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's you know, there's there's definitely a lot of stuff that with regular prepping that ties into
sure
disaster preparedness. And if you're not a prepper, you know, really you have to be planning for at least 2 or 3 days without power and without access to yeah, anything. You know, just for natural disasters. I think that's common sense. And I think most people do that. Even if you're not a prepper, you have at least 3 days, you know, just by accident, you have 3 days worth of food around the house, you know?
Right.
But it really comes down to like basic preparedness, just being a man. Do you have a flashlight? Do you know where a flashlight is? That's something you should know. But also, you know, things like heating your house, you know, do you have a way to heat your house that's not the electric heaters? You know, do you have a propane grill that you can cook your food on? You know, do right, you have a kerosene heater? Do you have a propane heater? You know, some of the basic stuff, maybe you don't want to spend $10,000 on a generator and getting your whole house set up, but you should have at least, you know, some basic, you know, basic man shit around your house that you can take care of small emergencies.
Exactly. No, that's it. I mean, there is a level of preparedness, a level of how to, you know, I mean, it's the common sense of recognizing, you know, downed power lines and realizing the shock risks and saying, hey, water conducts electricity. You know, if I go over near that, I might be exposed to bad things that I hate to say it, a lot of this stuff is not as common anymore. And more people are so, and then they're also so distracted, you know, how many of us, you know, I mean, yeah, you're looking at your cell phone while you're driving and whatever, and we're already at some higher level of risk because of the way people are when they're out there. Now, obviously that's not what you should be doing. And that's my point, but how many people are, and they're just going through life haphazard. Well, this is a time you need to be paying extra attention when there are changes to the environment, to the world, you know, after a storm of unexpected trees down, unexpected power line breakage, you know, snow drifts, icy spots on the road. You know, after severe weather, this is when you need to be paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, some basics too that with regular car maintenance, a lot of people don't really take into consideration. I know every once in a while in California, people would get a, they'd get a big rainstorm when I was out there. I was out in the desert, you know what I mean? It's not a very common thing, but they'd turn on their windshield wipers and, oh, my windshield wipers are 10 years old and they're fucking garbage and they don't do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in an area that's prone to, you know, a little bit of ice and snow, maybe you want to get the winter tires. They're not, you know, they're not that bad. You just swap them out. Summer comes, take them off and put them back on next winter. They'll last a couple winters if you, you know, if you take them off when the summer comes.
And it turns out it costs just as much if you do that, right? In the long term.
It's not more expensive.
But it's not really more money if you're rotating them. Now, people do get pissed when they have to store their tires in a shed, and people get even more pissed when a mouse comes and chews the inner rim, and now you don't have a bead on your tire.
Yeah.
You know you've seen that play out.
It happens, right? Yeah, that stuff happens.
Oh, mother, I'll kill you. Some mouse went and chewed on my tire, and now it's worthless, right? So that kind of thing sucks. But again, you can plan for that, right? You can, one, keep an eye on things. But two, you could put some poison out there. You could put mothballs or whatever it is that are keeping mice away or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and the truth is you see a little mouse and you're like, oh, that's cute. I don't want to hurt them. Yeah, no, they will destroy your shit. They will eat through wires. They will destroy equipment. Your oven stops working. You open it up and there's a whole family of mice living in there. No, man. You need to get rid of those things. They'll eat your food. They'll shit all over everything. You got to take them out, man.
That's one of the big things. You know, we're getting away from copper plumbing in the houses, and everybody's got that PEX. Well, the mice just chew right through that shit. They're like, oh, PEX. Yeah, I like that.
Delicious. Tasty.
Delicious. Look, it's blue. I bet there's nice cold water in there.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what goes through their head, but they know. And that's something to be aware of, you know, and you just got to plan, right? You got to cover the downside. And that's the whole, you know, prepper mindset is planning ahead for things and having, you know, a way to overcome it and being aware of what potential threats are. And that's, you know, a big part of why we do the show, right? Is to just consider the downsides. You know, you don't know these things are problems until either it happens to you from life experience or you put a little effort into thinking about it. You know, what are my possible pitfalls here? And, you know, where am I? All right. So another thing, what about just taking care of your yard and keeping your trees like trimmed, right? Having the limbs that are questionable going out and being like, hey, you know, man, I have a lot of oak trees and some of those branches look pretty dead and pretty ugly. They could drop down and really be a hazard to my house. My house has a ton of giant pine trees kind of all around it, right? So that's a possibility of real threats that might fall on my house. Now, I have a pretty substantial log, as those of you watching on YouTube can see, these are like foot thick square logs. Most trees falling onto it, it's going to damage my roof. I'm going to have to go up and repair things, but it's probably not going to come crashing through and kill anybody. Right. I mean, because I have pretty solid stuff holding it, but that's something you want to be aware of, right? You want to consider, all right, what are my possible threats here? And hey, look, that tree looks kind of questionable. That could really fall in my yard any day now.
Yeah, guy down the road had a tree fall on his trailer, and it wasn't the same as falling on a log cabin.
It structurally
did some serious damage.
Yeah, and that's it. When you wake up with a 4-foot tree in your bed, that's awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the last one I got on my list here,
all right,
of natural disasters is tsunamis. Ooh. Obviously, this doesn't come up very, very often.
How to swim? Is that your pro tip?
You got to swim for it, man. You got to swim for it. Now, they said that tsunami waves travel only about 30 or 40 miles an hour. I thought it was a lot faster than that. But
so your car goes faster than 30 or 40 miles.
You can outdrive. If you're in your car, go for it. You know what I mean?
Unless there's traffic and everybody's like, go, go, go. And no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, they say, you know, if you get a warning about a tsunami, don't like wait and see what's going to happen. Just go. Get out of there. Go to higher ground. Get as far away from the coast as possible, as far inland as possible. You know, don't wait to see, because they don't have a whole lot of warning with those tsunamis, you know?
Yeah.
If they measure an earthquake out in the middle of the ocean, maybe they can be like, we're tsunami watch, you know? Right. But if they say there's a tidal wave coming, you got to get out of there, you know? And we've seen, I think we've all seen, you know, like Japan when they had that big tsunami.
Yeah.
There's you see the pictures of it, and the water is just relentless, just pushing houses and cars and everything right along with it.
Right. But you would think that when the U.S. government caused that, they could have been like, hey, you know, you guys are going to get a big
next week. We're going to set off a tsunami. Yeah. It's the, what is that? Is it DARPA? That's
HARP
making all these natural disasters. HARP is all right.
Well, yeah, it's DARPA, but it's HARP that's doing it. But we'll pretend that that's not a thing and that we're just crazy.
Now, I had one in here about wildfires, but, you know, I didn't really consider that natural disaster because everybody knows that it's the Jewish space lasers that are starting those up.
Right?
Those are all man-made too, right?
Kevin, that's horrible. You are a horrible person.
Space lasers. All right. Now, remember with power outages, some general safety tips. Keep your refrigerator closed, your freezer closed. If you have a generator, keep it outside. Don't run the shit in your house, obviously. Don't have the exhaust going in an open window or an open door. Don't use a gas stove to try and heat your house. That's not safe to do. Sometimes it's good to disconnect certain appliances, like don't have your cell phone plugged into a dead outlet because the power comes back on. It could damage it. You know, some basic stuff like that. It's a good idea to have some way to access electricity. If you don't have a generator, maybe think about going to somebody's house, a friend's house, a relative's house that's, you know, does have power or has a generator.
Right.
You know, bring all your beer that's getting warm over there and drink with them. And then you can watch TV together and you won't have to deal with any of this nonsense.
Yeah, I had the brilliant idea as a prepper. I was like, well, I have a big man truck, whatever. I'm going to put a inverter in my truck so I'll be able to plug in things and whatever. And I tried to plug in the refrigerator, and it didn't have enough ass to actually do anything.
Wouldn't do it, huh?
There's a way to plan out these things, check your wattage, see what your cranking amps are going to be for the your starting amps for your compressor on your fridge or whatever. But, you know, see what you can do to come up with a good plan. But again, that inverter on the truck, it does buy you some things, right? So there are certain options you have. Another thing that I would say is maybe having some kind of get home bag in your car, right? So when the blizzard, your car breaks down, are you keeping blankets in your car in the wintertime? Maybe that's a good idea. I mean, I know the wife, even before she met me and became a full-on prepper, she was already planning for this stuff. She always had the sleeping bag in the back of the car. You know, for it sucks when your car breaks down at a minimum, or worse, slides off the road in the ice or whatever else, and your kids are freezing in the back seat. You know, that's not cool. And having a get home bag that has water, that has, I mean, God forbid you're out there for a day or two and you need a way to start a fire and do something more substantial. But at a minimum, having warm clothes, a sweatshirt, blankets you can put on, at least keep people warm and, you know,
Yeah. You like, know, and gloves and hats don't take up that much space, but it can really, you know, especially if you're out in the cold and you have to do something, having some gloves makes a big difference, you know?
Right. Now, it's always, you know, it's key to have some extra preps in the vehicle to make sure you can get home. But like Kevin said, you know, setting up your car to, or, you know, I said setting up the car, but having a way to set up some kind of electricity or some kind of backup plan, you know, that's worth something. I have a winch on my trailer that, you know, it's one more thing that I have another battery set aside that I can go over and steal power off of. But you have to have a way to get that 12 volts into, you know, your phone charger or your whatever it is that you're going to need, you know, but having those extra batteries around, having that redundancy, think about your options. You know, I feel like so many people get stuck and they don't realize, hey, I have more water in my water heater that I could drain out if I was stuck. Hey, you know, I could have filled my washing machine when the power kept blinking on and off and at least have water for the toilets. No, I don't want to drink that kind of soapy water or whatever for drinking, but I could at least flush a toilet two more times or three more times.
I could wash my hands. I could, there's a dozen things that you need water for that isn't drinking that, you know, you don't want to use your drinking water to flush the toilet.
But the more you think about, you know, that get used to that outside the box thinking and ways to kind of prepare and have a different way, you know, have a backup. You know, that's what it comes down to is have a backup, be a prepper, plan ahead.
And obviously you have to plan for the events that are most likely to happen to you. You know, if you're living in northern Michigan, you're more worried about blizzards and power outages than you are about hurricanes, you know,
or wildfires. Right.
Yeah, if you're living in Florida, don't prepare for a blizzard necessarily. You know, you want to be prepared for. But a lot of these things can happen any place. You know what I mean? You can get a tornado anywhere. I live in upstate New York and we don't have a lot of tornadoes, but they happen. You know, I'm not near the coast, but hurricanes do hit and, you know, maybe it's a tropical storm by the time it hits me, but it's, you know, substantial amount of rain and flooding. So you have to be prepared for different emergencies, but obviously there's some that are more likely to happen than others, depending on where you live. And, you know, that's really something, you know, if you're in the Midwest, it's not unusual to have a tornado shelter. And, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. What's your most likely scenario? But also, you have to think outside the box.
And that's it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Be a prepper. Be a man. You know, think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or maybe it's, I don't know, is that sexist? It probably was.
Yeah.
That was horrible. All right.
Yeah, so bottle up your feelings, push them down inside, and drink yourself to sleep every night.
Be a man. So if you have thoughts of, you know, how to prepare, things you should have in your go bag, you know, things that you should keep set aside, put them in the comments. You know, we'd love to hear and have some more insight. Obviously, we don't think of everything. You guys always have new ideas, things we haven't considered. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. If you've ever been through a natural disaster, go to our Facebook page. Tell us a little bit about it, your experience, you know, anything that you ever had to deal with.
Pictures are always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, questions, concerns, show ideas, things that you want to hear about, things you're concerned about, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. You want to get cool badass gear, right? You go to preppingbadass.com. Otherwise, show notes. I usually have a link for, you know, where you can find some badass gear. With that, I would say stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.